If you love me, you will keep my commandments. In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. Before I became a youth minister years ago, I was first a Sunday school teacher. I taught the 8th grade confirmation class, mainly because nobody else wanted to do that. And one year I had my curriculum all set, and I was ready for our first class. The New Testament reading that Sunday was Paul's first letter, chapter 3, the same passage that we just heard Rob read. Peter tells the faithful, always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Now, thinking about the 8th graders, I thought that sounds a little too much like courtroom talk. And so I thought of ways that I might be able to relate that to this class. And this is what I came up with. What is your answer when someone asks you, why are you a Christian? I had them write on that first day whatever came to their minds. And to write it down and to hang on to it. And then as the classes went along, every once in a while, I'd bring us back to that question. Why are you a Christian? And had what we had been talking about over the last few Sundays changed your answer a little bit? And if it had, let's rework it. As the classes rolled on, and I was, you know, feeling good about the progress we were all making, feeling pretty confident there in my Sunday school class, the education director came to me and he goes, now, Paul, you remember that all of your students are supposed to write a very important letter to the bishop. And I'm like, oh. I forgot about that. So that's part of their confirmation preparation. And so I did begin to panic a little bit, and I panicked more than they did. And what was I going to have them write about? It was supposed to be about, what have you learned? And you're supposed to be slightly on the impressive side, you know. So how was I going to prepare them to write this letter? And then it hit me. They'd been working on it all year. And I had them write a letter telling the bishop why they are a Christian. The kids had their answers already worked up and developed. All they had to do was put it on that church letterhead and make it nice and formal and mail it off as a big package off to the bishop's office. And when the bishop came, when it was time for confirmation, he visited our church and he pulled me aside. And he said something to me, and I'm going to bring up his name here because I think many of you know him. Bishop Ken Price, at that time, was serving the Diocese of Pittsburgh as our interim bishop while we were searching for our next bishop. And he pulled me aside, like I said, and he said, you know what? I read every one of those letters, and I wrote back to every one of them. Their words were moving to him. Now, when the students, of course, went into the lounge and sat with him, and he asked them what the seventh commandment was, they were like, blank. But he went on and confirmed them all anyway. That's the one about adultery, by the way. That was... So my students and I went on a journey that year. Everyone's answers changed, but I didn't want them to get rid of that first answer. I wanted them to hold on to it because that showed, that was evidence of their growth. They learned more, they matured more, and they became more in tune with their own personal faith as eighth graders. We have been following St. Peter a lot during this Easter season, both in the readings from Acts and from his two letters to the new faithful. I've often mentioned to us that we hear a changed man. Peter before Jesus' crucifixion and Peter after his resurrection. He became more in tune with Jesus' message of love and compassion. Peter does use a form of that word, defend. Be ready to defend what you have learned and what you believe. Peter did this fervently in the garden when Jesus was arrested. He was violent. He drew his sword, and he was ready to defend what he believed in most deeply in that moment, that Jesus is the Messiah. And he used violence. And Jesus restrained him. And he told Peter to put his sword away. Again, we hear a changed Peter. His passion and love for Christ is still, at this moment, very strong. But in his letter, he tells the faithful to be ready to defend, and he follows that statement, those instructions, yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Defend gently. Defending our faith will sometimes lead to disagreements and arguments and sometimes violence. But the sword is supposed to stay in the sheath. In the short 7-verse gospel reading that we hear from John, Jesus mentions love 5 times. This reading is a snippet from that long last night of Jesus together with his disciples before his arrest and execution. Jesus will soon face horrible violence the following day. But on this last night, he's preaching about love. How do we know God loves us? Because Jesus loves us. We return God's love by loving Jesus Christ. And so Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And this includes the one that he gave them in the previous chapter, that you love one another just as I have loved you. This is what should be a powerful part of our defense, of the hope that is within us. The hope that love prevails over violence. We need more of this loving form of evangelism, So may our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ give us the strength and gentleness we need to be advocates and defenders of God's love in the world. Amen.